Mr. Eisenberg, Reel 2.
That morning, we were found. My uncle say, from the attic, they didn't even use a ladder. One of my uncle had done first. I don't know what happened when he got injured or not. And I found myself with the two cousins, the girls, the young girls, in the square. And practically very quickly, we were put on a lorry. And we did not know where they're taking us. Not only myself, my two cousins, a few more people. And they were really took us about 50 kilometers away, Kelce. Kelce had an ammunition factory. That's where they took us, to work in the ammunition factory. Apparently, to my uncles and my parents, I really don't know what happened. When I went back 7 years ago, and I went to the barracks, there was an old woman, a Polish officer's wife, and she told me that this was a trick, this taking money a lot. There was not one Jew was let into these barracks. So I asked her, what happened to my parents? So I'm sorry, she said, I've got to tell you, either they took them behind the barracks and stuffed them, or there was another trick. They called it Judenstadt. About 50 miles away, Sandomierst, they selected a place which they called Judenstadt. In a room, they went round that if you want to save yourself, just go to the Judenstadt, which is 50 miles. And even if they found you walking and you said Judenstadt, they let you go. Because one morning, they surrounded Sandomierz and Judenstadt, and this is a fact, took them to Treblinka. And I've got a feeling that it could be my parents were in Treblinka. When I was working in the factory in Kelce, a young man, a Jewish chap, came in to this factory, because he heard that there is a case there, a factory, and some Jews have got jobs there. And they are fed, and they're not treated too badly, call it. And when he came, there was no count, you know, he just, a young man, and he finished off in our barrack, where I was in the barrack and I was. And I had a conversation with him. I don't know how true it is, or that he saw my parents. Because he escaped him. He himself was taken from Sandomierz to Treblinka. In Treblinka, they appointed him to load clothes into the wagons, which went to Germany shoes, and he hid himself underneath the clothes, came out of the perimeter, jumped off, you know, and he made his way to Kelce, because Treblinka, by that time, some people already knew what's going on.
Did you know this boy's name?
No. He was older than me. And I think the news then about the guy, well, he worked in Treblinka, so he saw it anyway. So what I'm trying to say here, I don't know what happened to my parents. It's all assumptions.
What happened to you at the ammunition factory?
Kelce? Well, in Kelce I've arrived end of 42, and I've worked there to almost end of 44.
What kind of work were you doing?
Now, Kelce was an ammunition factory. I was physically a very small boy, you know. And I was extremely lucky. My job was looking that they gave me a job with the transport column. There were about 20 fit young men, which looked after everything which came into the factory and went out. The steel was unloaded, the coal, the wood, and the parts, the ammunition parts. Kelsey made, 6 centimeter, or whatever, 6 inch shells, anti-aircraft shells, and also the ends of the bullets on lasers. This is what Kelsey made. And the transport column loaded these things. Now, I myself, being so small, I was quite fit. I was then, 15. Yes, they gave me a job to look after the tackle. Crowbars, chains, spades. And this was really a marvelous job.
Like a storeman?
A storeman. I had three, I could go anywhere in the factory as long as I carried a shovel or a crowbar. And why I'm saying that, I was not short on food, because I was stealing. Everywhere I went, I was stealing. There's a Manchester boy from my town, Bonshik, you have him on the list, from the same town, Stashev, which he finished in the same factory, whether he was in hiding or what, and I really helped him a lot. I helped him. I wasn't sure of the food. In the barrack, because you're talking nearly 2 years, you know, 1 3/4 years, our barrack had a man who was a cobbler, and he was repairing shoes. You know, how was it paid in exchange, some food, you know, this stuff. I supplied him with leather for the soles, because I had entry to all the stores. Well, if they called me, it would have been shut. I just simply went to the stores, cut off from the belts, new belts, into my trousers at night, I gave to this cobbler. He gave me something, I don't know, it wasn't a matter like open market money, you know, for the dealings. And after a few months, I've learned how to repair shoes. I was curious. One day, he gives me a pair of shoes, and I'm repairing the heel, and try to knock in a nail into the center. The nail is bending. Suspicion. There must be, we knew already, stories, people are hiding gold, watches, in the soles. I lift up that piece of leather. There's a silver, I think, watch, pocket watch. Put it in my pocket, I don't tell them. I close it, put the nails down. With this watch, I saw this watch. Kelsey Hasak had Polish engineers, workers, coming in during the day and going home at night. The Jews, I don't know how many there were, 200, say, or 300, had barracks, wooden barracks, in the back of the factory. It was a compound, we were guarded. We could escape even, but where to? The war is going to finish, we've got wealth, we've got food, around where to. So I sold this watch to a Pole. The money was no good to me, and I made a deal with him that he'll give me 8 bricks. You know, 7 or 8 bricks. And I must say that he kept his word. Every 2 or 3 days, whenever I arranged, he brought me a bread. And of course, the bread was marvelous. I gave help my friend. Yeah. So I was not starving, and I was not beaten. I was in a little bit privileged position till the end of 1944.
But were the workers were all getting wages, some kind of wage, were they?
Which ones? The Poles, yes. They came in as engineers or general on the automatic lasers or what. Maybe they weren't so before the war. If it was an ammunition factory, I don't know. No, she was nothing. No, no wages.
Food.
And a little bit of clothing, you know, when the trousers fell apart. The shoes we prepared ourselves, yeah. It was a semi-normal, you know, considering it was good. Considering. In 1944, the Russians started approaching. They made the offensive, you know, it was a distance. So, as they were approaching Kielce, they transferred the factory to Częstochowa.
To where?
Częstochowa, where the port comes from, Częstochowa.
Częstochowa.
Now, Częstochowa is not very far from Kielce, and I remember being the transport column. Everyone from the transport column got 20 men, a group of 15, to be in charge to load the jewelry. It took 24 hours to get us. Food, fuel kitchens, anything, but load. The equipment was very poor, there was no experience, and I remember there were a lot of accidents, my goodness, people getting injured, you know. Anyway, the factory was transferred. End of 90, not end, say, it was not freezing, it must have been autumn of 94.
44.
44, so. We've arrived there, and I am back in the same position like I was in Kielce. The same group, it was an ammunition factory on a bigger scale. I am the same as I was. I'm in charge, and again, I'm short of nothing. Being a bigger factory, I was even better off. But December, I think, 1944, the Russian advanced again. And they've actually entered Chesnaya. In the morning, some of the camp, the Jews, were liberated. Because all the people, they understood, you know, they just walked towards the front, into the city center. I myself, for some reason, did not. I've hidden myself under the barrack. And the result was that in the afternoon, they rounded us up onto trains, onto Buchenwald. I could have been liberated in the 40s, and some were liberated. Onto Buchenwald. I think it took 2 nights, or two, you know, 2 days. Pushed us in like sardines. No food, no water, no facilities. We arrived in Buchenwald after 2 days. Quite a lot of people were dead. And in a way, I was pleased to arrive in Buchenwald. You know, from the condition. When I arrived in Buchenwald, I remember seeing this notorious woman, Ilse Koch. Standing in the distance with her hands in the waist. And of course, even in Buchenwald, you didn't get food. We still, for hours, sat in a compound, no water, I remember eating snow. Eventually, they called me. They already take me in, and they give me this pajama stripe outfit, shave off my hair, and they put me into a bath, which is a disinfectant bath, and I didn't know it's disinfectant with my eyes open, I jumped in, I couldn't see for about an hour. And I finished off in the barrack, I think it was barrack 62 in Buchenwald. in hunting the barracks. They had about three layers of bunks, and being reasonably fit yet and young, I jump right to the top bunk. Why? Because I could see straw in openings between the doors. Straw is going to fall on you. I jumped to the top. And being a little bit green, because I've been in barracks where life in these factories was, well, not normal, but there was some normality. So I take off my shoes, which I had good shoes, because I used to repair them myself. And I leave them on one of the trusses. I wake up in the morning, the shoes are gone. I had only a small foot. I can't imagine it was an older man, maybe a young boy like me. And this was a disaster, because next morning is the appel. The appel is the counting in January 1945. Frost. And I stand there, was barefooted. I don't know, I somehow did survive. I don't know what I mean, survived. I didn't get listless or whatever. Anyway, next night, I've done the same trick. Didn't go to sleep, watch whoever puts in, and I pinched. There were no shoes available. A pair of, what's it used in Holland, the wooden
clogs.
This was another disaster. Everything was frozen. When I went out from the barrack next day, it was like
a skating rink.
Like on
ice.
Yeah, what do you call when you come down the hill? Not skates.
Skis.
Skis. I remember coming out from the barrack, it was a slope, and I'm going for this appel. I still stuck to them. It was better than standing. I did not. I think maybe I did get a pair of shoes. Maybe. I can't. It's not very clear to me. But that was not the most important thing. In Buchenwald, the starvation started. You see, till 1945, in these ammunition factories, I did not know about hunger. I didn't. Because I was in a lucky position. Starvation started. No food. You did get a little bit, a piece of bread, but you see, starvation started off. There was no job in Buchenwald, because Buchenwald was a kind of a concentration camp. And they took you away to working camps, or whatever. Of course, they had too many people, they sent them off to Gaschenwald. Now, one day I was taken to work in the quarry in Buchenwald. In the quarry was a very dangerous job, because there was a path. You went for the stones at the bottom, which people, you know, with these axes, pickaxes, and you walked around on a trail, kind of, to the top, and put some onto little tracks, rail tracks, little ones. But then when, by the time you got to the top and killed him, well, I was still fit-ish. People dropped these rocks, all the people, and they started rolling down. And if you were below, and if you got hit, that's it. That was the end of you, you got injured. So anyway, I was there a day, and I could see what's going to happen. So next time, when they came for the quarry, I've kind of hidden myself. I could get away with a lot of things being small and young. I mean, an older person couldn't get away with this. And I was still reasonably fit. But it took its toll. I started going down there. I think it was in March 1945. Again, the need people, I was taken to Colditz. You've heard of Colditz?
The POW castle?
Yeah, no, not to the castle. Colditz had as far as I understand, I wanted to go back after Zimola once or twice, and it didn't work out. I don't know whether I would have found people who could tell me about COVID of 1945. Is in Coldis, there was a factory of apparently either ammunition with my partner, Pinky Coldis. He says it was an ammunition. I knew it was a glass factory to try to convert it into an ammunition factory. Obviously, they didn't convert it, so there was no time. I saw the castle, we saw on the hill, and we knew there were rumors that there was English pilots. The air force there. Yes, there was a rumors. We worked, say, in going down the hill again, not enough food. I did not have any more of these jobs like transport, this finish, you see. So, say, I wasn't very long, I cannot be precise. Is the Americans start approaching Coldis, the American front, and they start false marching us. And the destination, which we didn't know, was the Reichstag into Czechoslovakia. It took 2 weeks. We went out 600 of us, 70 arrived. As soon as you couldn't walk, you were shot. Anyway, I've arrived in Reichstag, which would have been April. I cannot say the day. Because I wasn't very long then, I was liberated by the Russian army. But starvation took its toll again. When on the 8th of May we were liberated, I was more dead than alive. Simply sad. But I was on the second floor, first floor. I managed to go down the stairs because suddenly there is a commotion. Accordions, rattle, which I imagine the tanks. And I knew, we knew, we heard of the liberation, you know, that the Germans are getting defeated. So it was in my last bit of strength. I went down the stairs, and what do I see? Yeah, I see the Russian tanks, and they start throwing food down, the accordions are playing, and I knew I'm liberated and free. And this obviously gave me a lot of strength, you know, because I really gave up. On the 8th of May, or prior to the 7th, I simply gave up. And what has happened, a lot of people with right eating and drinking, and the typhoid broke out. I don't know, I've survived. I don't know how, you know, I've survived. I've started getting stronger. My bombshtick, he had typhoid, he said he was this fellow from Stashev. And right, we started recovering. There was no point going back to Poland. As a matter of fact, he died, a cousin of mine, from Kielce. They lived in Kielce, and the family had a soap, Campbell soap factory. He went back because he was older than me. He was liberated somewhere in Germany. And you've heard of the pogrom in Kielce. That after the war, immediately after the war, a few Jews got back to town, and there was a pogrom that killed them. I don't know whether it killed, there is history about it. And he was one of those who was attacked. And he heard some Poles say, he's dead anyway. He heard it. He got up when they left, he's recovered, and immediately he went to Israel. This was, as in 49, the state where the Jewish state was created. There is a date when the pogrom took place, it's a fact. He died about, he wasn't a young, he was a lot older than me. Now, he wanted me to go back to Poland. Oh, maybe there's something to sell, but I did not go back because there was rumours and true rumours that if you went back to your town, little town, you were in danger. Because a lot of Poles waited for you, the things you come in to take things back. And one or two got killed. So, you know, I did not go back. And my cousin came to Dresdenstadt to see me, and he went back to Poland. In Dresdenstadt, after being there a couple of months, we have already recovered, and we had a choice. Either we were orphans. The families were wiped out. So either to go to Poland, which nobody wanted, or to Palestine. It was not a Jewish state yet, but you, some of them. I registered myself with 95%, 98% to go to Palestine. In the meantime, the Central British Front, CDF, is a Jewish, no, it's an international refugee organization, heard about us. We were raised at about 400 boys in 20 years. And they have got permission from the British government to let us come to India.
How many?
400 boys in 20 years. We have arrived in Lancaster, 20 Lancaster boys. There was no seats. The RAF brought us over. And we've arrived at a Newcastle airport, a military airport. And from there we were taken by buses to Windermere.
What kind of reception did you get there?
Well, Windermere, well, we were back to normality when we came to Britain.
Why was there so many more boys than girls?
I know, it's a good question. I sometimes thought about it, but I never... you see, it's a very funny... No, it could be that geographically, in that area, and at that time, because, you know, women can stand hunger and pain. Women last longer than men. I don't know if it applies to boys and girls, but older people definitely. Well, it was geographically or coincident, I don't know. I couldn't really say. Yeah.
How did Theresienstadt compare with Buchenwald?
Right. From my memory, coming into Buchenwald, you felt you came in to a, although it was not an extermination camp, it was a concentration camp, something sinister. Because Buchenwald had crematories. Buchenwald did not have gas chambers. But people who died, which was a daily thing, I've seen it. Every morning he had squads with the handcars taking out the dead, which died once in a while, into the crematorium, which the flame you could see day and night, the stench, the smell of burnt flesh. Well, you didn't notice anymore if you were there, right? Now, when you came into Dresdenstadt, it was not a sinister, there was no crematorium, as far as I know. The part I was did not have. You see, I went back to Dresdenstadt about 4 years ago. And Dresdenstadt also had what you call the castle. And when